Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to Hustle and Pro. I'm your host, Kelly Walker. I'm actually excited because I think this is a fun episode today, which is a little weird to say because we're at the Frisco Police Station, but it's fun because of what we're going to be talking about and who we're going to be talking to. So I want to welcome my guest, Billy Clay.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Yeah, thanks for coming. I'm excited to hear a little more of your story. So you are the Assistant Chief of the Frisco Police Department. So I guess first, I do kind of want to address why we're at the police station and what your role is here and, here with the police department. So kind of tell us that to start us off.
Yeah, so like you said, I work for the Frisco Police Department. I'm one of the assistant chiefs here. Underneath my role, I have the Operations Bureau and the Administrative Bureau. Under the Operations Bureau, we have all of our day-to-day patrol operations. We have SWAT, canine deployment.
That's a lot. Day-to-day and all the specialty.
All of that stuff that goes into this. So that's why we're here today. That's why I'm in uniform and I'm looking forward to this conversation.
So as I've met you before, this is not our first meeting. We kind of uncovered some of our mutual love for sports. And that's some of the things we're going to get into and how that sort of mixes with your role here. But before we do that, I just want our audience to know your background, because we uncovered, your sports background. So tell me, what did it look like for you?
So we were always involved in sports from a very young age. I played just about everything on dirt that you could, from soccer starting out to baseball, football.
Yep.
And it was always ingrained in me a love for the games. Not only just because of the competition and the atmosphere around it, but from my parents' standpoint, just like my standpoint now with my children, mm-hmm. is that you get a lot of life lessons out of that.
Right.
And so that's, that feeling of teamwork and accomplishment, the discipline, the integrity that comes with each one of the games that we play is what was instilled in me at a young age. And it's something that carries over in my day-to-day life now and with being a police officer.
I'm assuming the respect for the officials and the coaching staff. As you're a kid, all these older people, I think that is, it's not lost by any means now, but it is a big topic and a talking point now is, we see a lot of different sports struggling to find officials, mm-hmm. keeping people that want to come out because it's actually, they're not always getting treated badly by the kids. It's a lot of the adults.
Right.
But the respect, it is a huge life lesson in sports that, you don't automatically think of that when you think of childhood sports.
Right. And we all have to remember, the reasons why we're there. Winning is an important factor of life.
Sure.
But it's all of the extras that come along with that, too, and what gets you into that championship mentality, that winning mentality. It's not only winning at sports, but like I said, it's winning at life. And all of those extra values that you are created through on the field is what's going to carry you forward in life. And we are seeing, my son, he officiates baseball.
Oh,
now.
Really? And okay, that's what I'm thinking of when I'm talking about officiating is the baseball umpire.
Right. And he gets put into a situation where, he's a 17-year-old kid that is making decisions and having conversations with adults. And I think that the younger generation seeing someone that's not too far off from their age as they're playing at 13, 14 years old and seeing that mutual respect and seeing how to understand authority despite age differences is a huge key in success in life.
Yeah, I agree. So you talk about playing all these sports when you were little. Whereabouts? What part? Are you in Texas?
So originally, yes, ma'am. I'm from East Texas.
Okay.
Grew up in Longview. I played high school football and baseball. I threw the discus in the track team.
Longview. So then as you're growing up, what teams are you following? Like, who are you watching? Who are you rooting for?
It was always from a young age, Dallas Cowboys and Texas Rangers, you know. And back in the days of, you know, Nolan Ryan, I was never a pitcher, but just watching Nolan Ryan, I remember guys like Ken Griffey Jr.,
yes.
You know, Yvonne Rodriguez.
I was obsessed with Ken Griffey Jr.
Yeah.
Because of the, like, just the streaks and all that, and just everybody loved him.
Yeah. Right.
And the Nolan, of course. I'm the Nolan Ryan era, too.
All-time good guy. And, you know, football-wise, watching, I was... you know, looking at me now, you wouldn't think it, but I was always an undersized guy for playing football. And that's kind of what carried me through, was working on the little things, and attention to detail, and watching guys like Mark Stepnoski, who was one of the smallest offensive linemen in the league and had a successful career. But seeing how the attention to detail and the footwork is what drove me, and I was very fortunate, as we talked before, you know, to play in college.
I want to definitely want to hear more about that.
And go ahead.
No, just before we do though, who else? I know you said Mark Stepnoski, but who else are you watching and learning from?
I mean, just the way that they handled themselves on and off the field, guys like Emmitt Smith, Troy Aikman. I mean, I know it's a lot of Dallas Cowboys,
we
but that's what
we must be the same age, because like these are all my guys too.
Yeah. And seeing how those guys interacted, not only with, you know, the community, but their teammates, how they won and lost with grace. And that's a big part of sportsmanship in a whole.
Absolutely. And sometimes losing is... if you don't get to lose, you don't get to learn how to lose with grace. You know, you talk about like in the triplets era, they didn't have to do that a lot. But when I think about like our kids, you know, I have had kids that are on really good teams. Of course, it's great to be on bad teams too. But when they're on the really good teams, sometimes I'm like, we need to lose a few this season so that these kids don't think that they're better than they are, or. Right. Don't realize that it's hard to be the kids on the other side when you're really beating these teams. It's great to be fun or happy and celebrate, but like you have to remember there's somebody on the other side that isn't feeling good about it, and they just got whomped. And so you need to win with grace and lose with grace. But sometimes, especially in Frisco, like it can be hard for your kids to have to get to learn that lesson if they're on good teams that win a lot, right?
Right, and failure, as we all know, as you grow up, is a part of life. And it's not necessarily the failure that is the key part of that, but it's how you respond to it. And and learning to be humble in both your winnings and in your losses is a key part of you just being a human being and understanding how to interact and show that grace. And so it's extremely important to learn how to lose and to learn from it. And that's when I say winning isn't everything. It's that mentality that comes with it. Winning is always good, and that's what we're striving for. But there's a lot of times in life where you're not going to have control over wins and losses.
Sure. So, and not everybody can win. I mean, when you talk about if everything's winning, you know, you can advance and get to levels, but only a fraction of the people in the league or whatever you're doing is going to actually win.
Right.
So you can't, you're just not always going to be like the ultimate winner. And if you keep setting that as your only goal, you're setting yourself up for disappointment.
Right.
Okay. So you talked about playing in college. So where were you, and what you alluded to linemen?
Yes. I was an offensive lineman.
Okay.
I started at Tyler Junior College. I went to TJC for 2 years out of high school. Originally, when I was coming out of high school, there were some coaching changes at a school that I was committed to. And then so that kind of fell apart, which was, again, a lesson in life that not everything is guaranteed. So I had to learn to restructure. I ended up going to Tyler Junior College and playing two seasons there before I went on to play at University of Southern Mississippi for two more seasons in 99 and 2000.
Okay.
So,
yeah, it makes me like my gut hurt when you hear, like, when you know kids are committed or expecting to go somewhere, and it all hinges on a coaching staff, because that's just how recruiting works, right? Like, because this guy likes you and says you're coming or wants you, it doesn't mean the next guy coming in is going to be able to maintain that promise or commitment. Is it ever like guaranteed?
It's never guaranteed until you sign, you know, on the dotted line.
Okay.
And when you sign your national letter of intent, you actually sign your scholarship. And A lot of people don't realize too that that's a yearly event as well. So you're not always guaranteed that you're going to be somewhere for 4 years
and come back.
And come back. So you're competing every year. And again, that keeps your drive and motivation going, and whatever motivates people to want to go to the next level, whether it's they want to go to the next level for an education or they want to go to the next level as a stepping stone to the pros. I think having that realistic mindset that there, like you said, there's a very small percentage of people that get to that point,
right.
Even coming from high school to college, whether it's, you know, the smallest D3 or the biggest D1, there's still only so many slots. And then
right.
when you go, we just had the NFL draft, right? Mm-hmm. And there's a small fraction of college players that were hoping to get drafted and then that actually did. So there's no guarantees. And I think that that's part of having that mindset and that growth mindset of wanting to continuously get better in whatever is thrown at you, whether it's sports or it's life or it's work or it's police work or it's reporting. So whatever that is, all of that is ingrained, I think, really and truly goes back to sports.
You're growing up, and that's my growing, like my experiences growing up was how it all goes back to sports from as far back as I can remember. Mm-hmm. I was playing something, being on a team, mm-hmm. having teammates, having to figure out, you know, the relationships between teammates and coaches and balancing your life and your schedule and what's more important and this
right.
and that. All that stuff goes back to, for people like us, to childhood sports.
Right.
Yeah. And you just said a good segue to police work, so we're going to come back and talk about that. But first, we are going to take a quick break, hear from one sponsor. We'll be right back. We're going to learn more from Billy Clay about how his police work weaves into the sports world here in Frisco, Texas. So we'll be right back. I want to tell you guys about Beyond Studios. I'm going there for Pilates right now, and I love it, and I want you guys to try it out. You can actually try your first class for free when you use my code HUSTLENDPRO. That's hustle, ampersand, pro, and you'll get your first class for free. So you can check it out at either their Beyond Studios location in West Frisco on 4th Army or the Beyond 500, which is at Lebanon and Legacy, and that's more of a cardio workout. So head to thebeyondstudios.com to find out more. Welcome back. We are here with Assistant Chief Clay talking about his background in sports, and now we're going to talk about how your love of sports also gets to kind of play into some of your responsibilities. Now, you talk to us about all the day-to-day things and all the departments and
right.
groups of people that you are over here. So I'm guessing that working with sports teams and venues here in Frisco is a small piece of that, but it is a big deal. And I've only recently learned about all the, how much of an undertaking that is for you
right.
guys. So tell me just a little, like, and for our audience that just doesn't think about it, like, what is the Frisco Police Department doing when you talk about the sports landscape of Frisco?
Yeah, you know, Frisco has grown up. It's been named the Sports City USA. We have a lot of sports partners here from the Dallas Cowboys, the Dallas Stars. We have the Mavericks developmental team.
Rough Riders.
We have the Rough Riders. We have the PGA coming.
Yeah.
We have MLS soccer. So we pretty much have all sports covered. And people don't usually realize that the relationships and the working back and forth that goes with planning events,
mm-hmm.
Planning security at different events out there. One example I'll use is we know that we're hosting the senior PGA tournament mm-hmm. here next year. It's going to be the first tournament that's played at our new PGA headquarters.
23? I remember back when they announced that, I was like, that's a while away, but now it's here.
And here we are a year out and we're already working on that. And, you know, we're having discussions with them, about the different security needs that are going to be there. We take our team and we're going to go watch some of the background layout of the PGA tournament mm-hmm. that's going on up in Tulsa mm-hmm. in a couple weeks. And
Little field trip homework.
And, we have to make sure that anyone that comes to these events here, safety and security is our number one priority. And we want people to feel safe if they live here, but we also want people to feel safe when they come visit here.
Yeah.
And these are huge attractions. I mean, people fly from all over the world just to come take a picture in front of the Cowboys headquarters.
Right. Well, that's the thing. It's one thing that y'all are tasked with the citizens that live here, right? That's your everyday. Well, but there's so much sports here. That's kind of everyday. But then, like, with how much, you know, I'm a contributing writer for Visit Frisco and that cover their sports. Mm-hmm. And how much outside traffic comes to this city for sports is unbelievable.
Right.
Because you mentioned the big stuff.
Right.
But then you talk about gymnastics at the Star.
Correct.
Youth hockey at Comerica. We have a ton of college basketball at the Star. And I mean, those are, there's lacrosse. There's now arena football. But the things that come in town, bowl games. I mean, those are
huge.
Thousands and thousands of people coming in all for maybe a 2 hour, maybe a 2 day event. But that y'all are then tasked with covering that landscape of people too.
Right. And it's challenging, but our team has really gotten good at again, it's with the relationships that we build with the management of these venues, the partnerships that we make, and understanding what the needs of both sides are. What they need as far as being able to get people in and out, and what we need as far as being able to do that safely.
Right.
In the most efficient manner. You know, we have time goals of how quick we want an egress to go from an event that holds 40,000 people.
So that is something that you guys are involved in.
Yes.
I mean, because then you're talking, it's spilling over into public roads, right?
Correct.
And traffic flow. Mm-hmm. And so they don't just get to live in their own little venue bubble. Like, you guys have to be inserted into that process.
Correct. And those talks start months, like in the PGA, years out. And so I don't think people understand that's a part of it. And I didn't really think about it when I got into law enforcement nearly 20 years ago that this would be an opportunity for me to take a passion and a love of mine of sports.
Right.
And be able to integrate that with my profession.
Well, it wouldn't be everywhere else.
Right.
It's. I mean, there are obviously other markets that have lots of sports, but I mean, it's pretty unique here that you landed here where all that comes up. So I wonder, when you talk about the PGA, that's when you compare that, a new venue, to somewhere now like the Star. I mean, we've had the Star, what, I don't know, 7 years now?
Yeah,
I don't know, something
going
like that.
7 years.
Where you can predict traffic flow better. You know the weak points as far as security, but also crowd safety and all that stuff. But then a brand new venue that, I mean, roads are finished and all that, but like, you have no idea, right? What's going to clog up where and what the pain points are going to be.
Right.
But does it get easier as the venue's been there?
Absolutely. Okay. Each year gets a little bit easier, and you don't try to recreate the wheel. You just try to tweak some of the spokes within it, right? So this first year going into it, yes, we will probably plan and overplan. We will probably overstaff and have more than what we needed. We would rather have more than we need there and not use all the resources and still being responsible too, fiscally responsible, not only to the city, but also to our clients as well. But making sure that we have things in place that if anything were to go wrong, we can handle it and respond to it.
Yeah.
But it does.
If you don't, it's too late, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Reactionary gap in that is way too late. So we do, again, overplan, and then year two, year three, you know, if we do a concert, out at Toyota Stadium, it's pretty much we pull a game plan, and we know the routes of ingress, egress, and we know how we're going to fill in the parking lots, and it gets a lot easier as time goes on. But
yes, as a attendee of those things, we have now learned, what, being an FC Dallas season ticket holder of like 10 years now, we know how to get out of those parking lots.
Right.
We know how long to stay
after
the main crowd leaves to then wait and plan and where to go and all of that, because the newbies sit in the longer traffic lines. So we've now outsmarted those guys.
Right.
I don't know if you're able to say, but you talked about resources and staffing. I mean, Frisco Police Department is limited on the number of officers they have. Do you ever pull in, especially coming from a like PGA up north, do you pull in other cities to help?
So we do. We have, with all of the events, not just at our major venues, but we have a very large request for off-duty security, and that's managed through our community services division. So we have an officer that pretty much, that's his day in and day out, is scheduling of officers to work off-duty.
Oh, wow.
And so with the number of requests that come in on top of our venues, now the venues take priority. So if we have a major event coming on at one of our event venues, then we will staff that before we say we can provide officers for this private party over mm-hmm. here or whatnot. We try to make everything that we can, but we do have partnerships in place with Prosper, with Collin College, the Constable's Office, University of Texas, Dallas. So there's a lot of outside agencies that help us in events like this. And you know, with something like the PGA coming, when we're gonna need, you know, an upwards of 70 officers for a week to work it, and you know, we're authorized
right?
238 officers, so that takes away, we still have to maintain coverage of calls, and we still have to maintain, you know, the response to our citizens and things that are needed day to day.
Right.
But we'll have to get creative on where we pull officers from.
Right.
So
that's good though, that you've got neighbors
yeah,
that you can
do.
Pull in when you need them. All right. So I want to close with the idea of, like, what are some of your favorites here? I mean, I have my favorite, you know, reoccurring annual events and different fun things, but from your perspective, I don't know if you're actually in these venues, working them ever anymore, or just managing the people that do, but like from your own, you know, football and baseball background mm-hmm. and all that, what are your favorite events that we have here?
Probably in my favorite event, there's a couple different, the venues, it would have to kind of probably be the Star, just because of the history with
Star,
the Dallas Cowboys.
Awesome.
Favorite event though would have to be the national championship game that we host.
I was gonna say the bowl, one of the bowl games.
The bowl yeah. game.
The vibe is pretty cool for that.
It's awesome, and it's you know, you see coming from that background, I never got the opportunity to play for a national championship, you know, but
again, not many people do,
not
right?
Not many people do, yeah. But seeing you know, these athletes come in, not only seeing how the athletes have changed since I was in college many years ago.
Yeah.
But seeing that, and you kind of get that goosebump feeling of, man, I remember what it was like to walk into a stadium and see that, and you hear the crowd
and
you know,
those
guys are getting the escort up to the game and getting yeah. off the bus. And to me, that's probably my favorite event to be involved in. And then knowing that the stakes are so high for both of those teams. And again, there's only yeah. going to be one winner
right.
and one loser.
And
so.
They bring in, it's not, and you see this because of the coordination, it's not just the 60-man roster or whatever, you know, the guys on the team and the coaching staff.
Right.
There are, like, it feels like towns of people
right.
that come here, right?
Because
they fill up hotels, and
correct.
You've got entire, like, marching bands, right? Drill team or whatever they call them in college.
Right.
Parents of players.
Right.
Fans, let alone the fans, but there's like a swarm. The
yeah.
Bison call it the herd, right? Of
right.
people that literally do like make their way into Frisco, right?
I think that's what I was thinking of, is the entire city of Fargo, North Dakota, whenever the Bison are in this game, they all travel here.
It's
and
awesome.
It's like, it's we turn into miniature Fargo, North Dakota for a week.
I love it. Like, I love, you know, happening to be in a place where they are that weekend and
yeah.
talking to them and, you know, how do you like it and what are y'all doing? And just, like, hearing their
right.
what they're up to, and they're so excited, and it's really fun.
It's fun, and it's fun to interact with those people, and it's fun to see the appreciation on their face, to know that we are open and welcoming them.
And dude, they love us.
We appreciate their, they appreciate our hospitality just as much as we appreciate theirs.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fun to see an event like that go successful, and for us to be able to manage it and everyone get out, come in, get out in a good
happy.
Mood. So,
yeah, that's good. My close second to that feeling is also college tournament, the Frisco Classic at
yeah.
the ballpark.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
That is.
And they have so many Texas teams.
Right.
You know, Ryan, the founder of that, has been on Hustle and Pro, but so kind of know how they do pull Texas teams.
Right.
But it's just a really fun, again, those guys, I was lucky enough to work that this year and get to interview a lot of the players.
Mm-hmm.
And they a lot of them play at really cool venues,
right.
but to come to this state ballpark and they walk in and they're like, this is cool. And it's empty, right? When
right.
they come in for their first practice and they have their phones out and they just like, they may usually play on turf, and so to feel the
right.
grass and all the little things
right.
that, you know, like these young adults like are getting to like soak it all
right.
in. It's really cool, let alone just the fun baseball weekend.
Right.
But it's a cool event.
Yeah, it's fun for them. And then, man, what an opportunity that it provides for people to see teams
mm-hmm.
like high ranking college level
oh,
teams
yeah.
that you normally wouldn't get to watch play live. You know, you might see them on ESPN or Bally Sports or whatever it is now. But
right.
But to see those teams play live here at a I'll call it an intimate venue because mm-hmm. it's not the biggest ballpark,
sure.
but
yeah, yeah.
you can get up and close and personal. You can hear the pitch hit the glove and you can hear the crack of the bat. So I remember watching Yu Darvish pitch when he was on a rehab out here.
Yes.
And being close enough to hear that ball hit the mitt was amazing. So that's just some of what this city has to offer, and it's awesome.
I'm a sucker for the ballpark. We're recording this right before Mother's Day. It won't publish until after Mother's Day, but that's my Mother's Day. We'll be at the ballpark, and you know, I just like being out there. So
right.
That's my choice. If I have something to pick, I'm like, oh, there's an afternoon game at the ballpark. Let's go sit there, and my mom will be with me too. I'm a baseball girl because she's a baseball girl. So we grew up watching the Rangers and, yep. you know, getting to go to Rangers games it was a big deal because
right.
we were 2 hours away also. So, or you were farther than that.
It was about 2.5 hours.
So that was, our going back again to the childhood. It really shapes like how I am as an adult.
Right.
And getting to watch and enjoy sports around here. So, well, thanks.
Yeah.
I literally like pulled you away from your duties and I'm excited that you sat down and took the time to talk to us. So
well,
thank
I appreciate it. Thanks for the opportunity. It was fun. And I hope everyone enjoys watching this and they can see
Thanks.
That there's, you know, you can always relate something back to sports, but even as a police officer, you know, here in the city of Frisco, we have something unique and it's a great place to live, work, and play. And
I agree.
And I appreciate the opportunity.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. And thank you guys for watching or listening. If you're watching on YouTube, be sure that you have hit subscribe so that you'll get a notification for our next episode. And also, if you don't follow us on Instagram, follow us at Hustle and Pro on Instagram so you can see updates and a peek into some of these things that we're talking about as I post about them. So we'll see you next time.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.